Yeah, so this is the Less Depressed Creatives. I'm Josh / Ravilla, and today I'm here with JC Bells.
Hey.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, JC?
Hey, well, thanks for having me on here. I'm a creative person. I'm a singer-songwriter. I play the kind of like jazz fusion music. I'm also a photographer and a graphic designer. So I've kind of dabbled in everything, but I guess primarily I'm a designer by day, musician by night at the moment.
So those are the two major.
Those are the main ones.
Yeah.
I've kind of risen to the top, I guess.
Cool. And then you're also in school as well, too.
Yeah, right? I'm just wrapping up my degree. It's creative technologies, and I don't really know what it is either, but I'm going to have that soon. So...
It's always good to have the piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Right? And like
you're like, I did something.
Yeah, I was just like messed around in class for like 4 years and now I have a degree. But yeah, no, it's a cool program. I didn't want to specialize.
So you can specialize in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I just kind of think of going to school for some kind of like art practice. Like you go for music, you know, you do like saxophone performance or you go for like visual art, like painting. And I just didn't really have a... one thing I wanted to focus on because I just couldn't let the other ones go. So I'm like, oh, creative technologies. I can probably fuck around with a bunch of things. And I did. And it was great.
And so you get to still do all of it.
Yeah. Which is kind of nice. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should narrow my focus, but I haven't yet. So.
Yeah. That's okay. That's probably something we will be able to delve into quite a bit more here because I'm also the same.
Yeah.
Doing everything.
So, I don't know. It just ends up you have a lot of expensive gear, right?
I try to have, like, cross-pollinate, I guess, the gear.
Yeah.
So it's like, even though, like, these mics probably shouldn't be used for, you know, like, a video take. It's a room mic, right? Like, it's like
it's
something.
Fine.
It's there.
You can plug it in and it'll record sound.
Exactly.
So you might as well. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. Cool. So one of the questions that I've been using, and I stole this directly from Unmistakable Creatives. Shout out to that podcast. Have you ever listened to that?
No, before? Should I listen to it?
It's a great podcast.
Okay.
So one of the questions that they start off with and that I like to start off with is, what did your parents do while you grew up? And how did that kind of affect your creative practice?
That's actually a cool question. And my parents are both teachers. So my mother teaches kindergarten and my dad teaches high school. But my dad's also actually a part-time comedian. He does, he's been a comedian for like 27 years or something ridiculous. He does improv comedy with a partner and they just do like a bunch of corporate events. But so growing up, I've always had my dad who has like, you know, a full-time job, you know, like a teacher, but then he also pursues comedy on the side. And that was really cool because I was always like, I was never discouraged from pursuing anything creative because I could always have it. It wasn't, you know, all or nothing. I'm like, oh, I might not make a career out of it, so I shouldn't bother. I'm like, no, I can always, you know, I can always do music on the side. That's always going to be an option. And I guess I kind of got into show business. I used to do my dad's like sound for his shows when I was like 12. He was like, here, you can plug stuff in and sit there while we make jokes, right? Yeah. I'm like, sure. So I did that when I was younger, like in high school. And it was fun. I liked it. We'd like, they never, you know, they would do like one show a weekend, maybe like, not crazy. And like, it picked up around Christmas. And sometimes we'd like take off school and like go for a couple days and like stay in hotels. And it was fun. So I guess I kind of got a little bit of a taste for it. Like just the, and my dad always loves talking about the entrepreneurship and the business of it. Cause he's always told me like, if you're going to do art, that's great, but you need to like treat your art like a business or it's always going to be a hobby, and that's great. It's great to have a hobby, but if you want to pursue it, that's... Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely had a big influence in, I guess, creativity and performance.
Yeah.
Like, from my parents. My mom's not creative, but she's very, very supportive. She, like... My family's from Watrous originally, like, a couple hours from Regina, and they, like, drive out to my shows all the time. It's adorable. They're
that's
the best.
Awesome.
How
often do you play?
It's been picking up lately.
Yeah.
So, this month I've probably had like 15 shows, I think.
Dang.
Which is cool. That's not happened to me before. Yeah. That's unusual, but
and this
great.
Is all within Regina?
Yeah, and a couple in like Saskatoon. Regina, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, so anyways, that's nice to have. I think it's important that your parents are... I wasn't like the rebellious teenager being like sneaking out of the house to be in a band.
Yeah.
That's very punk rock, but it wasn't me.
I don't know how many... like kids nowadays, or not kids, we're all adults now.
adults.
Yeah. Like at least from like this kind of generation, I don't know how many actually like had to sneak out. I'm trying to think of like examples of that, but it seems like, you know, most people had at least like more supportive or at least like understanding that like, you want to try these things, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But it's really cool that your dad, you got to see him do that, and that like, you had somebody who was there to be like, yo, you gotta like treat this like a fucking business and not just fuck around.
Yeah, and even just, I mean, it's comedy, not music, but I still learned a lot about like sound. I mean, nothing crazy. I'm not like a sound person. I just know enough to be like medium self-sufficient, which I think is good, but.
And even just having, you know, seeing the other side of things too, right?
Yeah, where talking to people like the contracts and the, booking shows, how to promote yourself. You know, he always does lots of stuff on the internet. We always, even now, we'll just like send each other stuff back and forth. I'm like, look at this ad. Do you think the wording's good?
That's awesome.
Watch this video. Do you think people will click on it?
Yeah.
So that's really, we definitely kind of have the same, a similar mindset in that regard. So
yeah. That's awesome though. Yeah. Okay. So even though you don't do comedy, right? That wasn't one of the things.
No. Yeah. No, I make jokes a lot, but I mostly just think I'm funny, but that's okay. Maybe one day someone else will think I'm funny.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I can add that to my plate of all the other things that I'm doing.
I actually had a friend recently that's like, have you ever thought about trying stand up? And I'm like, no, that's another thing. I'm just going to focus on music.
I know. Cause that's the same thing. Like I've wanted to try improv at least for like, but it's like, man, where, when?
I know. Sometimes I've thought about like doing funny songs, like, you know, people like Bo Burnham and stuff like that. Like I really like, that's kind of a good marriage of it, but I haven't done it yet. It's not quite my brand. But maybe one day.
You just have to make like a fake name and then just post funny songs under it, right? I feel like that's the only way I'd be able to like
Because I don't want people with it. Because I don't want people to only think of me that way.
Cool. So I guess like what would a typical like creative day look like for you?
Well, today I've got a meeting with a client. I'm doing a logo for them, just like the small like nonprofit. So we're meeting, going to talk about some logo proofs I sent them, and then I'm doing a gig later. So I don't know, that's a pretty good mixture. But usually I'm usually working on a couple. I usually have several projects ongoing. Like, you know, photos to be edited. Like I've got a photo shoot that I need to get out to the client, couple logos and like design projects, and then I try to practice music sometimes in there, or else I'll just show up for the gig and be like, I know what my songs sound like.
Oh man, that's like always like I mean, if you're playing 15 shows, like you feel like very comfortable with them anyways, right? If you're playing, that's basically every other night, so
yeah it was crazy, but I had like six in a week.
Yeah.
Which was bizarre. It was Jazz Festival and I just like picked up a couple of those. So
yeah.
But yeah, I guess it's basically kind of just like I have homework all the time.
Yeah.
You know, always having a project like going on. It's always in the back of my head. So I'm like, I'll be done school, but I'll probably have this kind of homework forever.
Mentality.
But that's okay because I think I don't want that, but then as soon as I don't have a project, I just go looking for one. So
So it seems like you tend to not just focus on like one project a day. Cause like I'm trying to streamline where it's like, oh, I'm going to be doing audio. Like I'll record vocals later and like, you know, kind of keep the same setups, but
yeah,
it seems like,
sense.
Yeah, but it seems like you're able to like kind of switch back and forth between things.
Yeah. I get bored easily, which is definitely, I mean, you know, that's not always good. Sometimes you need to buckle down and focus on things, but I like having things ongoing or else I just get, I don't know, sometimes the project like loses its spark for me. Not always. I mean, the past month and a little bit, I've been doing a lot of music things, and that certainly hasn't lost its appeal or anything like that.
Yeah. But
just in general, that's what kind of person I am.
Mm-hmm. And like you've had enough other things to balance out, like
yeah,
that overload, I guess, of music.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm a graphic designer, like for my day job, which is cool. Like I've never had that before. It's always just been something extra, but you know, that's creative energy that I'm putting in, like the 9-to-5 thing, and then come home and like, okay, what other creative things can I do? Do I have any left today? Mm-hmm. So that definitely kind of affects things.
Yeah. But it's like, it's always nice that like, you know, you get to just make things.
Yeah, it's much more satisfying. Like, you know, I'd way rather be doing something creative all day because that definitely keeps it interesting and it keeps you inspired.
Yeah, and it seems to be like a theme that's come up quite a bit more so, is that like, there are some people who like, yeah, they'll focus on the one art. Mm-hmm. But like, it seems like everybody's like, yeah, I really like the making of it, or like there's a specific aspect of not just that artistic practice, but mm-hmm. just of like making things in the arts in general.
Yeah, I feel that. I've always loved making things. Like I've never not been some kind of like creator person.
Mm-hmm. So did you always do music then, or did that kind of come a little bit later?
It actually came a little bit later. Like I took piano lessons and stuff when I was a kid, like,
oh yeah,
because everyone does.
Yeah.
I didn't even appreciate it at the time, and now I very
nobody,
much do.
Nobody appreciates it.
I know. It's like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to practice this classical stuff. And then when I was in high school, I was like, oh, you don't have to play classical music. Yeah. This is a game changer, I guess. But which is, I mean, you know, a shortened version of music, but
yeah.
Of my music interest, but that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. So like, did you grow up doing like a lot of the different other stuff as well too then?
Yeah, I actually, the first really creative thing I was ever really invested in was I wanted to be a writer.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wanted, when I was like, I don't know, like 12 or something, like I wanted to write novels. That was my thing. So yeah, I had like a blog, and I used to blog with a bunch of writers like back in the day. This was like...
Wait, with a bunch of writers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I knew a couple.
And then you would do this all on the same blog.
There was one kind of like community one, but then mostly we would just like comment on each other's things.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a couple like published authors that I used to chat with. I don't know why they talked to me. I was like 11 and stupid, but you know, I tried. I actually wrote a novel when I was like 13. That's it's awesome. Not yeah. good, but you know, that was still like a milestone. That was a big project.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not like you can't expect, I don't even know who would be good at, like, you know, like there are some prodigies or whatever, but even then, it's like they probably, I always wonder how many shitty things they wrote before then, before they're like, oh yeah, this
is the shitty one. First drafts yes. are a thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely.
So do you still write then too?
Yeah, but mostly I kind of turned to poetry, I guess. Mm. Like I really liked, you know, novel writing. I'm like, oh, storytelling.
Yeah.
I really liked Stephen King's book on writing. That was a good one. But, when I was in high school, I took a creative writing class. It was through distance education because I'm from a small town. So we had like 4 classes to choose from. I'm like, oh, I want to try this creative writing. It was taught, you know, it was all online. Yeah. And then my teacher kind of commended me. He's like, you know, you're a poet, like you're a good writer, but you're a great poet. Like you should, I would say that that's your strength. And I'm like, huh, interesting. And I published a couple in high school, just like some Saskatchewan magazines. There's like Windscript. Do you know that one?
I think I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Saskatchewan Writers Guild or whatever, but I got a couple poems published in there and I'm like, oh, that's exciting. Like I like this.
Yeah.
Getting feedback, getting positive reviews. It's encouraging when you're young and I'm like, okay, maybe I could do something with this. And then I kind of fell into music when my high school had a garage band program. We had this like old hippie band teacher and he was awesome, and he just like made this band program and we just played like rock music.
Yeah,
we just played a lot of like CCR and shit like that.
And so you'd get like paired up with other people?
Yeah, well, no, there's just like a handful of us because it was a small school.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I was just talking to him because I played like the flute in band, you know, I did that. And we were chatting one day. He's like, well, we need a keyboard player. Like, you play piano? And I'm like, I did when I was 8.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's fine. You should come to practice. And then I guess I started thinking about music differently, like playing like rock music. And it's a different way of thinking about it rather than like sheet music, which is what I had thought up to that point. And eventually I'm just like, I guess I could write my own songs.
That's the thing is when you're from those classical programs, it's always just like, here's this thing.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I can't write music. That's insane.
That's for Mozart.
Yeah, exactly. No, like, I don't know, Andrew Lloyd Webber, motherfucker, like, writing stuff on the piano, like, elaborate orchestra. Like, that just seemed really far off, and I didn't kind of realize that there's space in the middle.
So for writing projects, this is also something that I'm always interested in. How many, like, bad drafts does it usually take you to get to, like, a good draft?
So many. It depends, I guess. I've had some songs that I've gone through a lot of iterations.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely, usually when I, like, start songs, at least, it's, like, comes from something. I'm like, oh, here's a snippet, and then I'll kind of, like, build around that. But sometimes I'll, like, write a, you know, a verse chorus and then leave it and come back to it. And then it goes through, like, another kind of change, or, like, I'll finish it, or I'll think of something different. But one of my songs, like Firing Squad, that's one of the ones that I'm, you know, pretty proud of. I think I did like 4 like legitimate drafts over a period of like months. Not that I like worked on, like slaved over it the whole time. I just like work on it, kind of like put it away and come back with kind of a different thoughts. So,
yeah. And is it the same thing when you're writing as well too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except when I'm writing papers, then I usually just write it, hand it in 20 minutes before it's due. You know, that game.
That game.
sorry, I got school on the mind, but.
And do you find the same thing for like logo designs or I guess photography
as
well too? How many
logo
like,
designs?
Yeah. I guess for logo designs, a little bit different. I don't design logos and stuff, so I don't really know how that works. But for photos, I know that like to get to like one good photo for me, sometimes it can be like in the hundreds, and then you know, you get the one good one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You go to a photo shoot, especially when you're doing like anything, like event photography, anything live. Like you do music photography, so you're not going to get that many good ones, in my experience at least.
Oh no!
I definitely have found, you know, progress from when I take photos now to when I took photos when I was like 15. I would take like 500 photos and they were like all the same.
Yeah.
You know, like just like hold down the shutter button. And I'm just like, this is what photographers do.
Yeah. You're just like, you're not even moving. You're just like, this is probably people are in the frame. So it should work.
Keep clicking. Yeah. It'll be good. Yeah. And then there's just like 1,000 like identical or nearly identical photos.
Yeah.
Pretty ridiculous. But
yeah. For any people who are aspiring to do photography, just like move slightly while you're taking photos. Like, I feel like that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And you can think about each photo you're taking. Like I know it's digital and not film, but you can still think about the composition of each shot.
Yeah. Like think of the space that it's taking up on your phone, really, or on your memory card, right? Like you don't want
to. Yeah. Well, you can take one picture and it looks really great and it's good. You have that picture. You don't need to take 7 more for posterity. Like you can take that one like, oh, good shot. I'll move over here. Maybe I'll get a different good shot.
Yeah. Me and John, AKA a third time.
Oh,
he hates when I call him that. we were talking about this like earlier, in an earlier episode. Just, you know, like your ability to get the right shot, like in a quick matter. And I feel like that's like the goal in any creative, you know, whatever endeavor you're trying to do, you're still trying to get there a little bit faster.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think people don't realize that like, there's still shitty drafts all the time.
Yeah, definitely. like for logos, for design, I find like, I'm not really a perfectionist in like any manner. Like you should see my house. It's a disaster, but I am when it comes to design and projects like that, especially if I don't have a deadline. Like I found I can't make projects for myself because I'll just like tinker with it for so long. Like I made an album release poster for myself and it was, you know, it was cool. I liked it, but I like worked on it for like 4 days and I didn't need to work on it for 4 days. I could have just, you know, stopped at one point, but
yeah,
so I'm bad. I'm like, I'm bad for that. Keeping going. Like, when do you stop? Like, when am I going to be happy with it? There's always more you could do.
But, and that's a good point too, is just like, even for like just having deadlines for anything, like if somebody doesn't give me one, yeah, I'm also just like really bad for just being like, well, I guess I'll just tinker on it forever.
Yeah, whenever you get time, like, okay, cool. I'm just going to try some weird experimental stuff I never would bother with usually. But
exactly.
I don't have a time frame.
Even for new music now, since I'm like kind of trying a new genre.
Right,
I'm like, if I don't have like a show that I need to like do things for, it's like so, it's so easy to like put off finishing a song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. I've got a lot of pieces and I'm like, oh, I'll get to them. You know, I'll get to them, I'll develop them, but I'm, but I've got my set that I've been playing, so it's fine.
Yeah. But as soon as you have like an external, like something, right?
Yeah. Like I had a gig coming up and then I finished one of my songs like the night before.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I want to play this tomorrow. I should probably finish it.
Yeah. That's even a good point. It's just like, maybe even just, now I'm just thinking aloud for myself. If I just like post online, I'll be like, I'm going to have this fucking song done.
Yeah, and then you have
Here's what it is, and you better be excited because I'm going to have it done tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like I played this, I played the show in like part of like Queen City Pride or whatever, and I'm like, okay, like I need a song that's like a little more like gay for this, and then I'm like, I know, but, and then I had to finish it so that I could sing it at the show.
Yeah.
And it was rough, but it was there.
Yeah, but it's like you got it done, right?
Yeah, exactly, because I'm like, okay, I need it done for this particular thing. Yeah. But actually, well, I worked for the Carillon. You are familiar with that.
Yes.
So, but that's, you know, a newspaper. I mean, I know, like, print is dead, mostly, sorry. But it's a deadline every week. So, like, I did graphics, like, photos and graphics for that. So I kind of learned to accept it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could keep working on this, but we're going to print in 4 hours, so I should probably just like set this, like get this finished.
Yeah.
And John, like the editor, he's like, you know what, like done is better than perfect. I'm like, oh, I hate that because I want it to be perfect. I want them all to be perfect, but I mean, there's definitely comes a time when you have to accept it. I'm not saying, you know, just be fine with your shitty work. Like, no, obviously put the work in, you know, develop your drafts, but yeah, you need to have an end point as well.
Yeah. And I feel like, especially I found for like creative people, it's just like so many of them have that perfectionist tendency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because a lot of people feel like, oh, this is a part of me as well too. Right. It's not just a piece of work. Like it's, I, you know, it'd be really fun to like interview like a craftsperson, like somebody who does like woodwork. So any woodworkers, yo, hit me up.
I'd cabinet makers or
Cause like
such things.
It must feel like somewhat similar, right?
Yeah, it's like your craft. It's something that you're proud of. It's got your name on it, maybe, or
some
your brand.
Yeah, exactly. Something about you is put into that, right?
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Because I definitely find a difference when I do stuff for like clients. Like if I'm, you know, someone hires me to do a job and when I'm doing stuff for myself, because I'm never happy with it if it's for myself.
Because
Like I did my album art and stuff like that. Because I'm like, you know, interdisciplinary artist. I should probably do my own album art.
Yeah.
But oh my God, I went through so many drafts and like got so much critique. I like sent them off to like random people that like wouldn't even care. But I'm like, do you care about this? Like, what do you think? So when it's my project, I guess it's mostly vanity. This is part of me. This is my project. This is my art. It needs to be great.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's like vanity in a bad way. It's just like, you need to put a certain amount of ego into it for it to be what you want it to be.
Yeah. Right? I mean, when you think about it, I guess some artists are, I mean, sometimes it is selfish, right? It's just like all your own.
Oh, 100%.
All your thoughts, all your feelings. Like, this is just me finding myself. And if other people want to listen to that, that's great.
Yeah. And it's like, it's finding that like balance too.
Yeah.
Cause like obviously you're only making it cause like you like that shit.
Yeah. People are like, oh, thank you so much for playing tonight. Like, no. Thank you. I don't know. I think I probably liked playing here more than you guys liked hearing my song in the corner of the bar.
Yeah, but that's sweet that you have that appreciation, because I feel like there are some artists who just like expect people to listen to them just because, you know?
Well, yeah, I guess I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not famous enough yet, but I'm always appreciative. I'm like, no, I'm glad I got to play here and I'm glad people listened. That's just the best thing ever. I mean, like, I love performing, but it's different when people hear it, you know, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I always say, like, the best thing gift you can give an artist is just to, like, tell them you've, like, whatever it is that they're putting out.
Yeah, honestly.
Because the worst is, like, after a gig when it's, like, you're not really getting a response. Yes. And then it's just, like, okay, I played.
Cool, I guess I'll just go home now
and yeah, cry myself to sleep.
I guess I'm just like worthless as an artist. Yeah. Bye, have a good night.
Bye, have a good night. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then like, yeah, it's funny because then you'll do that, but then like you hear from somebody else and they're like, oh yeah, like this person really liked your music. I'm like, why didn't you say hi?
I know. Like I always want to say hi. I always want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm always conscious to do that when I like go to shows. I was like trying to go up to them after and be like, I love your work. Sometimes I get dumb and like fangirly.
Yeah.
She's like, you're so great. You're super cool. And they're like, thank you. I'm like, no, I mean it.
I mean, that's the thing though, right? It's like, it's weird when like, as an artist, when you go do that, because you feel like you're fangirling, but then like.
I know, but I'm like, no, I'm an artist. So I'm not like a groupie. Like I'm just also an artist. It's different.
But it's also just like you want people to do that, right?
I do. Yeah. Well, it's like I used to be a waitress, and now I'm really nice to other waitresses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know what it's like at some, you know, a little bit different scales or but.
Yeah. So the name of this is Less Depressed Creatives.
Yes.
So we're gonna maybe try and delve into the hard shit. Get real deep.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. I'm usually.
You up for this?
Oh yeah, I'm so ready.
So one of the ones that like I kind of like starting off with is just like what is a memorable time where you fucked up at like a gig and it was just like, oh my fucking god, like this is bad. If you're willing to share that.
Oh no, yeah. That's great. I'm trying to think of the best one that comes to mind. It was a very long time ago. I was like 14 years old. It was like my second show and I hadn't memorized any of my music because I was stupid. And I was like playing in Watrous, Saskatchewan. And I was playing, it was like Blackbird by the Beatles. And I was like, I was really nervous and I was kind of like shaking. And then I like went to like turn the page of my music book and it like fell on the piano. And I was like, fuck, like whispered it. But then the mic caught it. And it was just like this event, like a fundraiser with like old people and my parents. And that was really embarrassing. I mean, that's maybe not, you know, like, I mean, it's funny now.
Yeah.
It sucked at the time. It didn't like, you know, topple my career or anything. But that was like, oh, no, you shouldn't say fuck into the microphone on stage.
For at that kind particular of event. Yeah. Because there when are many you're times.
14.
Yeah. When you're 14 in front of your parents for a fundraiser.
I'm just like, oh, wow. Okay. That was not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Definitely most of my fucking up has come from, I didn't memorize the song. I'm just going to read off the chord chart and then something went wrong.
Yeah, because like it's so hard for like I always make sure I have my lyrics memorized because like if I had sheet music, I would just freak out.
Yeah. Well, it took me a long time to realize that like I don't do that now, but I used to, you know, like play a show. Especially, yeah. Like when I was just starting and I'm like, I'll just play a bunch of covers because I don't have many of my own songs yet.
Yeah. And there's like also that anxiety of like not having it in front of you. Like,
You're like playing outside and the wind blows it around or something. That's happened to me. I don't know. Those are just pretty technical things.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else that's been like.
So like, what do you think are the most common mistakes that you make as like a creative person in music or whatever other things you like sharing?
Sucking at deadlines. Definitely. That carries through to all of my life. I'm bad for saying yes to everything. And yeah, I like taking opportunities and I don't like to let them pass by. So I'll just like say yes to everything and be like, and do none of it. If anyone can sympathize with that. Or like do it badly, which is shitty. You should just say no when you can't handle it.
But exactly.
I never do. I'm just starting to learn what my limitations are.
Especially when you're in like so many different creative endeavors, right? Like, because it can just be a little bit hard to keep track of like how much time you actually have and like what you're doing.
Yeah, like when I do a photo shoot for somebody and they're like, oh, like when are my photos going to be done? I'm like, I don't know, probably after Jazz Fest is over because I don't have any free time right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like that crossing over is kind of, yeah, it kind of gets a little bit tricky sometimes. It gets, it overlaps for sure.
Yeah. And like, I think part of that too is just like, you don't want to like not please whoever it is, or like you think that there's going to be a missed opportunity, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. When someone's like, oh, do you want to do this job for free? And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, wait, maybe, no, maybe I shouldn't do that. But I, yeah, I'm bad for that. I'm just like ADHD as hell. So I'm just like every new thing, I'm like, oh, you know, something shiny, that's exciting. And then following up on things is what I'm not great at. So that's definitely my weakness when it comes to design work and photos and projects that have like a return time on them. You know, I'm like, I'll get them to you eventually, but that's shitty. People don't want it eventually. They want it yesterday. Generally. So, and I don't like when people do that either, but then I do it to them and I'm like, I'm sorry. I mean, well.
Yeah. It's just like when you do take on too much, it's just like, fuck. And then you kind of like, and then it gets harder, right? Cause then like, your anxiety levels go up, like
I'm a very anxious person. So I should probably be combating that better, but and I think it's mostly bad for long periods of time, because if you take on a lot in a short period of time, it's like 2 weeks and you're like, oh, I got lots of gigs, and it's a balancing act, and then you're done and it's like relief. But if it's ongoing, that's when you get burnout. Yeah, so when you keep up that juggling for like a little while, it's okay. But when it like stretches on and on, I'm like, oh my God, what is my life? So.
So have you like, have you come up with any strategies yet to kind of combat that?
I think one of my weaknesses, I get caught up in the anxiety of finishing and doing a good job. And I think I forget the joy in the process a little, because that's why we're doing it, right? I should be enjoying the work that I'm doing. And so I guess just kind of like reminding myself to think of that, like you're doing this for a reason. You know, like sometimes I'm like, you work all day or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, I have a gig and I have to play till midnight and I'm very tired, but I'm like, no, but I love music, like that's what I want to do. So
practicing that gratitude is really so like, you talked about like how you're a pretty anxious person. So is there anything more to that?
I guess there's a lot of fear of not performing well. I don't want to disappoint somebody when I'm doing a project that like you're contracted out to do, or even when you're doing a gig, I don't want to put on a bad performance. And I also don't want to do badly, like, I guess, you know, every artist, you're your own worst critic or whatever. And I want to live up to my own expectations, which I don't know, sometimes they're a little bit high, I guess. Like everyone puts that kind of pressure on themselves. But I guess I just try to, I forget to like look after myself sometimes. I think that's like the biggest outcome I've noticed. And especially, I mean, like, when you're, you know, a teenager or whatever, it's different. And then now when you're living on my own, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to like buy groceries and I need to sleep sometimes. I like, I'm really bad for getting excitable and tackling things with like all my energy. I'm very much like, I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of person.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm going to do this for my career and for my job, that kind of unevenness and like lack of mental sanity, it's not sustainable. So you just have to, I guess, find a medium, a point in the middle.
Yeah,
if that makes, I don't know if that makes sense. I feel like I'm just rambling.
No, it totally does. So like, what kind of negative self-talk do you find yourself going to most often?
Basically that I feel like a failure a lot. I guess that's the biggest one. Like, that's, you know, the voice in your head or whatever. It's like, oh, if like, if you don't do this properly, or if you don't get this done on time, like you should be doing better. I guess there's always room to grow, and there's always, yeah, I guess there's that fear. And like, I don't know, like, I guess if I mess up, I could just get a 9-to-5 boring job somewhere. But it's important to me to do well in my like creative career and to like grow as an artist. So
yeah, it's just like I feel that like it's really important for like anybody who's like kind of starting to make moves in any creative industry. Like you are starting to like actually do things.
Yeah.
And so I think there's other people who are like kind of like a step below where they're like trying to figure it out and they're like, oh, like this person is always doing so well, you know, where it's like, oh, there's like always that like.
I've always had those thoughts, like especially, yeah. I mean, it was really cool to move to Regina because like I'm from, you know, a little town. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a music scene. That wasn't anything that existed. And I never really thought till I moved here that there was kind of that in-between ground for artists, you know, between like playing in your basement and like playing to stadiums. Like there's for sure space in between those two extremes. I used to always, I guess, comparing yourself to other artists, like, oh, like they're doing this, or this person's 17 years old with a record deal. Like, what the hell am I doing with my life? Things, yeah, you're always thinking of that. Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, what should I be doing better? Because there's other people that are doing it. So, but I mean, you can't, everyone has their own life journey. And I know that, like logically I know that, but.
Yeah, sometimes it's still just like hard to deal with, right?
A little bit, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel that.
And you also said earlier that like you played for Pride show. That was with Scott and Wanda.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. That was like a small show, but it was like the kind of small show where people come and they listen to all the words.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. Like I like that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, it's harder to have those shows now, I feel like.
Yeah, Creative City Center was.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's nice. It's like kind of an intimate venue.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I don't know. Pride was good. Yeah. I guess came out as bi this year.
This year?
Yeah. So I don't know if I like came out on the internet yet. So,
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. The important people know.
Yeah.
But, so that's, I mean, that's been a bit of a journey, but honestly, it's been really positive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just always wondering, like, do you think that affects your creative practice?
I think so. I feel like I discovered a lot more about myself in the past year, just in terms of, I mean, everybody writes about, like love songs, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably the number one.
90% of pop music, at least.
Yeah, definitely. I used to make this joke and it's kind of terrible. I'm like, if you ever, you know, are just in a, like stuck in a rut, like for writing, just like break up with your significant other. It'll generate tons of songs. And that's pretty shitty to say.
But also kind of true.
It is true.
As bad as it sounds.
I would
say
half, like most of my album that I released is generated from such emotions. But I guess, you know, like romantic and like those kind of emotions and that kind of experience that causes the most, the biggest reactions. And that's what I end up writing about. So, yeah.
So you said you were trying to finish a song for that night?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that song about?
It was about a girl.
for you, how difficult was it? I guess to share that and is that something that you're gonna put on a record, or do you feel like that was kind of like for that place in time?
No, I was happy with it, and I would definitely, you know, I'm not gonna like hide that song. I'm going forwards. That's definitely, I'm not gonna like revamp my act and be like just as a solely like queer artist and like that's what.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm an artist, like I'm just me. That's just one facet of it. That's kind of how I see it. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like a first crush or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of about, it's kind of just like a, it's kind of gay and it's kind of feminist, which I also, that's what I've been kind of leaning towards a lot more lately.
Like that style in lyrics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit more focus on social issues. Which before I wrote songs about my life, my experiences, and that's cool. I'll probably always do that. That's everything that you write is very introspective. But I think just going through school, it made me think more about the purpose of what I'm writing and like what, like why are you writing this? Like, why should people listen to this? What are you talking about? So I think I'm a little more conscious of like what I create now.
Yeah. So, which is awesome. Cause yeah, like I struggle with that too. I like, obviously I'm doing this podcast to kind of try and get at mental health, mm-hmm. but it's hard for me to put that into words in a song. And so, yeah, I think that's great that you're able to, you know, focus on, you're at least trying to focus.
Yeah. And I mean, not always. My music's pretty, you know, some of it definitely is pretty like poppy. And sometimes like, I'm just like, here's a song about some stuff and it's catchy and it's fun to sing. But I do want to at least have some kind of direction with the stuff that I write.
Yeah.
I think that's important, but.
Yeah. And I mean, but yeah, both can serve different purposes, right? Or the same mm-hmm. purpose. It's just like,
yeah.
Like I have this one song, which I have this one song where it's talking about a breakup mm-hmm. that I had, and not even from like a, oh, this was a terrible breakup, but like this sucks that we're no longer in the same space. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is that the point of like all the music is to try and say like, here's a reason to connect with me, right?
Yeah. One of my songs, it's called Shade, and it's also like about, it's like post breakup, I guess, but it's actually pretty positive. Mm. Like it's talking, it's like this sitting in the shade of a tree. And so it's talking about, you can be like safe with somebody, but that doesn't mean you're maybe like living up to your full potential. It's like, you know, sitting in the shade and like you're sheltered but you're cold, and you can like go out into the sun and it's like, I don't know, it's like a long extended metaphor, I guess.
I like that kind of stuff.
I just though. Like yeah, yeah, I don't know, I just like nature and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean like that one's pretty specific, but like hopefully some people can relate to that. Like, yeah, you can be in a relationship, you can be content, but content doesn't mean like you're living your best life. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I really
definitely
like that.
Reach forward soon.
Yeah.
Strive for new heights.
Strive for new heights.
I don't know.
Get it. cool. I really like that. I think this is a pretty good spot to like kind of wind things down.
Yeah.
So I have a couple questions. Sure. Also things that I've stolen from other podcasts because I still haven't figured out exactly which kind of
the
questions
formula.
I want. What is the magic formula? It's like in music where you're like, there's got to be some secret to writing the perfect song.
But, yes, exactly.
But
some chart topper.
Yeah. I'm sure it's there. Max Martin hit me up. So first question. What is the best thing you've bought for yourself that was under $100?
Ooh. Sorry, I just have to think about this for a second. Okay, this is gonna sound super dumb, but the thing that popped into my head, it's way under $100.
Okay.
I really like nice pens.
Okay.
That's like what I'll buy like I like buying like fountain pens and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just like you put more pride into your work. I like.
So you write your lyrics and stuff by hand?
Yeah. I mean, like I'll write the final copies, but I always I love writing. Yeah. Like. Longhand or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'll buy like expensive ass notebooks that are like totally unnecessary, but they just make me be like, oh no, this is my craft.
Yeah. No. And I think that's important, right? Cause then you're, like you said, like it's recognizing what you're doing as a craft and like mm-hmm. something that you're building as a business or whatever.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being, you know, something, a hobby that you'll pick up whenever you want. Right.
Yeah.
So what's like your favorite pen right now then?
I have like a fountain pen from like Paper Umbrella. Just throw it a little plug to that store. It's fucking awesome. It's my favorite store in Regina. But yeah, they have these like, I don't know, they're like German or something. I can't say their name, but
but they're like these awesome fountain
pens.
I can
get different colors of ink and it's really fun.
And it's like really smooth writing.
I've never written with a fountain pen, I don't think.
Yeah,
no, it actually makes such a difference. It's just like you can write really quickly. I'm a scribbler, passionate scribbler. Like I'm one of those people like late at night writing passionately by candlelight. Like
I honestly have to keep like a notebook at my bed or else I'm like if there's something like I'm like just like wake up and I'm just like
I know because I'm so scattered though. I usually have like 3 or 4 ongoing notebooks.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, whatever's closest, I'll write in that. And then I'm like, I know I wrote something somewhere. Which book is it in?
Yeah. Eventually I try and put everything into Evernote. So like if I write it down, then I put like just take a photo of it.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of iPhone notes and
voice
memos.
Memos.
When I'm driving a lot, I'll be like driving and I'm like, oh, I should like sing that.
Put that down.
Like 47, like 20-second voice memos.
Yeah. Untitled. Number 3.
New memo.
Yeah.
50. Cool. New memo 51. If I ever die and someone has to like look through all that, like, I'm sorry, it's garbage. There's pieces, but it's not.
There's nothing cohesive there.
No. It's like the ramblings of a drunk person. Yeah.
Hopefully not. You're doing this while you're driving.
Mm. No.
Cool. Second question. What's the most memorable gift you've given to somebody else?
That's a nice question. I think probably like for my mother, I just made like this photo album of pictures, both like found, like stuff we had, you know, in our archives or whatever. And then a lot of photos that I had taken, cause I'm the family photographer. And it was just all photos of my family's like cabin, which is a really special place for my family. It burned down when I was in high school and then we rebuilt, but you know, it was like for my mother, it was her like family place. So there's a lot of memories there, but then there's a lot of, so like we lost that when it burned down, but we also are always making new ones.
Yeah.
So I really like that place. I'm always like, someday I'm just going to like take like 5 months off of life and just go sit up there and write a bunch of songs. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, I guess just, I like giving people photos. Cause I think it's nice to look through them and it's thoughtful. I guess like people will go through and like, oh, I didn't know, like I didn't even remember this day until I saw it again. And I love candid photos. Like I love catching people when they're not looking.
Exactly.
So just, I don't know, to have those pictures. So yeah, it was just like a collection. It was like, you know, chronological order from like our old place to the new place with the family around. So yeah, I guess.
Yeah. That's an awesome gift. It's very similar to like one of my favorite gifts, which I got at a Secret Santa, this was when I went overseas. They gave me like, this book of like photos that like most of them like I took. And then they also like, they like got everybody that we kind of in our close group of friends. So it's just like, say like, oh, like how did you meet Josh? And like, what's your favorite moment with them? And
like that's so irreplaceable.
Yeah.
And that just strikes up a chord with so many.
Yeah. That's like literally.
So many moments.
Yeah. When people talk about like, what would you take out of a burning building? Like.
Always photo albums.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always
the photo albums. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, hire one of us as photographers because you need that shit.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to get a present for somebody and not spend money, but spend a lot of time?
Yeah.
Is photos.
Yeah.
Some kind of photo creation, books and collages and
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like giving people pictures.
Photos are the best.
Yeah.
Do you usually go with a certain printer person in Regina? I don't I'm a photographer and I don't know what the people are called.
Well,
printmakers? Is that a thing?
Yeah, printing shops.
Printing shops.
Well, currently, you could probably get them done at my store that I work at.
The UPS store on Rochdale.
Yeah, I mean.
Plug for James.
Yeah, plug for
we
James.
Got you.
Come
we
to
got
James'
you.
Store. He'll talk to you and I'll print it off, and it'll be a great time for everybody. Go. Probably, maybe. But that's. I can get you a good rate there.
There we go.
Yeah.
Special discount for Less Depressed Green Rooms listeners from Jason.
Yeah, use the discount code Less Depressed at UPS store on Rochdale to get a discount on all your printing needs.
There we go. And last question is, if you could have a billboard anywhere in the world, where would it be and what would it say?
Billboard anywhere in the world. Just give me a second. Sorry.
No worries.
I've got a, I want this to be like great. Honestly, I'd put it, I make the drive to like Regina to Saskatoon a lot and it's really boring. So I'd put it like just after like Craig. Cause like you think Davidson's in the middle, but it's not really the middle. So I'd put it right in the middle and it would just say respect this women.
Respect women.
It would just say respect women. Cause.
And then in the, I feel like in the corner it should say this is the middle.
Yes. Respect women. And then like.
You're halfway there,
BTW. So it's just like a nice distraction. You're just like, oh, I'm halfway there. And then,
and, but like also respect women.
Yeah. And like, that's important. But also like the, you know, it's, it just chops up the drive a little bit. I don't know. I think that's what.
I like that.
Yeah. That's just a strategic place. I always get so bored making that drive. I have to listen to freaking podcasts. It's the worst, but.
Oh yeah. My podcast list is very, very extensive because of my drives to Saskatoon and also like Regina or Calgary. I mean.
So. Oh yeah, that's a that's a worse drive. I'm just complaining about the small stuff.
But it's like a little bit less boring. Like
yeah, the, at least you get the thrill when you cross over to Alberta and you're like, oh, the like roads are so much smoother. Wow. Yeah.
What is this magical line? cool. So what would you like to plug here?
Well, I released an album last month and it's, you know, like no big deal, but it's like my life's work up to this point.
And what's it called?
It's just my name. It's just JC Bells. It's got a picture of me with a bird on my face at the front. It's a shout out to Renee Magritte. It's a favorite artist of mine. I'm just trying to throw a little like stuck up art school-isms in there. But yeah, you can download it off the internet wherever you listen to your music. And
Spotify, Apple Music.
Tidal. I don't know what Tidal is, but I got an email. It's like, your EP is live on Tidal. I'm like,
well, there we go. Check out JC's album on Tidal.
Yep, cool. That'd be great.
What's your socials?
Oh, it's just my name.
So spell it out.
All right, it's J-A-E-C-Y.
It's not the easiest thing to...
No, it's true. It's true. Yeah, so it's like... Yeah, it's like J-A-E-C-Y and then Bells, like jingle. And then Facebook, Instagram. I have a Twitter, but I only like retweet weird like... underhanded comedy, so it's not really for music, but
I feel like like whenever I'm on Twitter mine is just like NBA news, so I totally understand.
Is that basketball?
Yeah
cool.
Cool, well thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much. I had lots of fun.
So this has been Less Depressed Creatives. I'm Josh, as always. I'm here doing things. You can find me on socials at 12EVILL. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.